Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we empower Christian business leaders to launch and grow blessed businesses while participating in business as mission. I'm your host, Hunter Haley, with my co-host, Tony. How are you doing today, Tony?
Doing well. We're glad to be back. It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah. People have been asking for more episodes, so here we are. And actually, for today's episode, we have a sponsor, Tony. This is a first, sort of.
A sponsor?
Yeah. So today's sponsor is us.
What do you mean, sponsored by us?
Well, good question, Tony. Not like we set each other up for that. But we are actually, we just recently launched a course called The Launch Course through the Blessed Business. I was able to record that and put that out there. And what The Launch Course is it is a course on how to launch your own business. And so the course will take you step by step through a process or through the process of starting your own business. It's divided into four different parts that will equip you with everything you need to be able to get your new business off the ground and launched on the path to success. And so we are sponsoring ourselves by promoting that course. And actually, if you go to theblessedbusiness.com/launch, you can get more information. There's a video, there's details about what all is included in it. It comes with several, I think, 4.5-5 hours worth of content right now. We're adding to that, as well as it's got a 42-page workbook and a bunch of different resources and
basically everything you need.
Basically everything you need. It points you how to get your business license, how to come up. The four parts is how to discover the right your why. You know, you have to know your why going into this, setting your goals, connecting to mission, which we talk about with business as mission all the time. And then it's finding the right idea. A lot of people either have an idea or they don't have an idea. So they either need to find a idea, you know, that's step one. Or if they have an idea, they need to be able to refine it, make sure it's the right idea.
Right.
And so that's part two. And then part three is your business model, which your business model is your company's plan for making a profit. So that's how you're going to actually run your business and make a profit. And there's a lot of different ways to run the same type of business, but you can run it where it's more passive, or you can run it where it's, you know, generates more revenue, or it's, you know, there's many different ways to run even the same business depending on your business model, or take a business that makes money one way and add in other layers of other business models to increase the profitability of it. So anyway, we talk about a lot of that. And then the last sequence is the launch sequence, or the last portion is the launch sequence. The launch sequence is basically 12 steps, the launch sequence of basically from start to finish of picking your business name to
all the practical steps.
All the practical stuff, right. Getting your business license, learning how to market your business, getting it launched, picking a domain name, getting your business account set up, all the things. Right? That's the launch sequence to actually get you launched out into the world. And so that is something that I think people should probably check out. A lot of people have already started taking it, and a lot of people found a lot of value in it.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a great thing for our listeners. So,
well, it's on mission. See, our mission, again, is to empower Christian leaders to launch and grow blessed businesses and obviously participate in business as mission in the process. And so if we're going to empower people to do that, we have to equip them with resources.
Yep.
So this is a big step in that direction. So it's been in the works for a long time, so we're really excited to have that out there. So,
absolutely. Well, it kind of segues into what we're talking about.
Well, that's the thing is we're going to be talking about opportunity today. So we're going to start talking about opportunity. This may turn into multiple episodes here, but really taking advantage of opportunity, recognizing opportunity, being a person that attracts opportunity is all of those things are important if you're wanting to launch a business or grow a business or even develop your career. If you want to have relational success, right? Opportunity is everything, but it's only available to those that see it, recognize it, and take advantage of it. So let's start off talking a little bit about what is opportunity. So we asked ChatGPT what everyone's using that now. So we say we do because people know that we do sometimes, but we have our own information too. But what does ChatGPT say when we asked it what opportunity is?
Well, as defined by ChatGPT, opportunity is a favorable juncture of circumstances that offers a chance to advance or make progress in personal, professional, or communal aspects.
Well, and I think there's a lot to unpack there, but I think it's interesting how they mention that it's a favorable juncture. It's a point in time. It's a moment of opportunity.
And it implies you can go one way or the other.
Right. Yes. Right? It's a decision. You have to choose to take advantage of it or to not take advantage of it, to follow through with it or not to follow through with it. And so it's a juncture. And you know, we talk about luck, you know, a lot of times, but circumstances kind of generate opportunity sometimes, where just life and circumstance, and we'll talk about that a little bit more further on, but in this particular case, the circumstance potentially has the opportunity to be favorable. There could have a different outcome.
Yeah, and to advance, like it says, or make progress.
Yes.
So an opportunity is a way to move you forward.
Move forward, right? Yes. And I actually created my own definition that's a little bit simpler. And basically what I defined opportunity as is it's latent potential for something good or important to happen if recognized and capitalized on.
Yeah.
And so an opportunity, if there's an opportunity presented to you, or you have the opportunity to do something or to be something or to advance, like it was saying, that's latent potential. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that is maximizing our potential in the kingdom of God. Because that's important, because if we're on mission and we're doing business as mission and we're trying to advance the kingdom of God, and as part of that, increasing our finances, being a witness, all the things, right? Well, then there's going to be opportunities that is latent potential just waiting to be capitalized on, whether that's witnessing to a coworker, whether that's you know, a new business idea that's popped into our mind. Maybe God gave it to us, or maybe there's a financial investment that we can make that will increase, and then we can have extra funds to be able to give. There's any number of opportunities swirling around. So the next important question, I think, would be to ask, where does opportunity come from? And so where would you say opportunity comes from? Is it just luck? Is it, you know, the throw of the dice, as they say, or something like that? Some people have it, some people don't. What do you think?
Well, we know God as creator, right? That is who he is. In the beginning, God created, right? So he created everything that we see, created things that we don't see. And so really, when you are looking at opportunity, you have to go back to the beginning.
Because God
is
the creator of opportunity.
Absolutely.
That's good.
And so when we say opportunity, it's a chance for something, like we talked about before, to become reality that currently is not reality. And so I think God is the creator of those opportunities, but he really works in partnership with us,
yes,
right? Like, we have to engage with the opportunities that he's given us. And so I think recognizing where the opportunity comes from also helps us in realizing how important that they actually are. Because if it's something God created for us, then
sure,
we really do need to
We need to pay attention to that. And I feel like that there may be more, I don't know. But the way I think, I kind of put opportunity in two different buckets. Even God created opportunity. There's general opportunity because God created a system that naturally generates as the byproduct just life and circumstance that he's created by being on this planet. He has created a system that naturally produces opportunity.
Right.
Because there's people, and people have needs, wants, and desires. So there's opportunity, and that's where you create marketplaces.
Yeah.
You have a need or a want or a desire, and necessity, I have the opportunity to fill that.
Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
That's right.
That's opportunity.
I love that. And so so opportunity is just generated just by being here, right?
Yeah.
And ultimately, that stems from God in the sense that God created a system where opportunity was natural. It was a natural byproduct.
He started those processes.
He started the process, yes. And as one person I know, he told me one time, he said, Hunter, to get out there and get anything, you have to play in traffic, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this movement of in life going on in business and in life and circumstances, but you have to get out there and you have to get in the middle of it. And sometimes that gets messy or dangerous,
yeah,
but you have to get out there in the middle of it.
Don't play in traffic, kids.
That's right. Right. You know, if you're looking to get a spouse, Well, like, you can't be a hermit, right? Because opportunities are out there,
right?
But you got to get out there and, like, you know, go fishing. You know, mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. always they
well,
say
you can't catch if you don't go fishing.
That's right. You're not gonna catch anything if you don't go fishing. As one person said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
Right. But what I really think is interesting, and this is where a lot of people think that this is the only type of opportunity, but this is probably one of the most important, is where it's specific. God orchestrated opportunity, where God basically orchestrates either circumstances or to come together and be in such a place where it all comes together to for a specific time and a specific moment to give you an opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also times when when God in his infinite knowledge knows that there's going to be an opportunity. And he positions you for it in advance,
yes.
and you didn't even know it. So opportunity drops in your lap, it feels like, but God was positioning it. So there's general opportunity that's just, you know, time and chance happens to everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's specific God-orchestrated opportunity. As the creator of opportunity, he steps down, and it's not just general opportunity. He creates an opportunity for you.
Custom made. You.
And, yeah. and a lot of times we see people that they use the word luck and say, man, that guy was so lucky. Man, the stars all aligned and man, he was able to jump on that and, you know, made a lot of money, or he was able to do this or do that. But my question is who aligns the stars? Who created them?
Who
right?
created the stars? Yeah.
It's God. And so a lot of times, while there is random chance, a lot of times, especially as Christians, I mean, that's our audience. Yeah, that's who we're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that God will orchestrate things in such a way that he will create opportunities for us. And so I think that that's important for us to recognize that there's a really an abundance of opportunity, because there's general opportunity just created in the system that we're in. And we'll talk about this and flesh this out maybe a little bit more in this episode or our future episodes, but there's general opportunity that is in abundance.
Yes.
But then there are those specific moments where you know it's a God thing. For example, in the Bible, you know, you have Elisha. You know, he was plowing and working in the field, being busy doing what he knew to do. And he was maximizing his current opportunities. But when Elijah came by and throws the mantle on him, he knew
that was a God-given specific opportunity.
That was a very specific.
Didn't come to everybody.
No, not every, Elijah wasn't going around just laying his mantle on everybody.
Right.
But that was a moment in time where he had to make a choice
yes.
to take advantage of it or not. But that was an opportunity that was a very, very powerful opportunity that was God orchestrated, God created,
and directed at him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Specifically
toward. I think there's another example of that in the Bible, which would be Jesus calling the disciples.
Oh, that's
right.
Good.
So yeah. like there's a general call to yes. salvation. John the Baptist was the forerunner, right?
Right.
Jesus comes along. He's offering salvation to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he's offering, you know, you can follow him. He had a larger group than those 12.
Yes.
You know, many say there's probably 70 or so. But regardless of that, he had a specific call mm-hmm. to those men on that specific day. And much mm-hmm. like Elisha,
yes.
they were busy with the opportunities that they had already had. They mm-hmm. were fishermen, for instance, right? And so they were there on the Sea of Galilee, right? And Jesus comes walking along, and that day, specific opportunity mm-hmm. walked into their life.
Well, it's kind of like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and he told him, well, go and sell everything that you have. Again, that I've said this before on other episodes, but I believe, but that's the only time, or one of the very rare exceptions that we see that, you know, he asks someone to give everything, to go and sell everything.
Right.
But at the same time, there was an opportunity presented there because, and it infers and actually says that Jesus loved him very much. He saw he had a lot of potential. Latent potential was in this young man.
Yes.
He was very dedicated. He was very religious. He was very sensitive. And he knew there was something special about Jesus, but the opportunity cost was too high for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
In his estimation.
And he was not a follower of Jesus.
Right.
He was a, you know, religious man, but he did not follow.
But
Jesus.
He was presented with the opportunity.
Yes, to be a follower, to be a disciple.
We don't know But instead of the 12 disciples, there may have been 13 if he would have answered that call.
You never know. Yeah.
We will never know. Only God knows. And so there's...
That's true. And the crazy thing about it, too, is that he was very well positioned
Take
that opportunity, yes. More so than the disciples that were... Because they looked around and they said, well, if this guy... And, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but if he can't enter in and if he can't be a part... Oh, well, look at us. Our our qualifications, so to speak, are much less.
Yes.
And so it wasn't really about the qualifications at that point. It was really about his willingness to accept and follow and pay the price to grab a hold of that opportunity.
Well, because that brings up another point, is there is a cost to opportunity. And we'll talk about this when we get to the point where we talk about analyzing opportunity, evaluating opportunity, but there is an opportunity cost. There's a price to be paid. If you take advantage of this opportunity, that means you have to give up something else.
Right. Yeah.
And, but you know, it's interesting. I haven't really thought about it until we started having this conversation, but you know, if Jesus was looking to call somebody who was educated, dedicated, I mean, he had the fishermen, he had the people, the tax collector, he had people like that, but someone from the, who was very astute and very studious and was very knowledgeable about the Word of God, who was very dedicated. We see that he ends up calling Saul, who became Paul.
Yes, yep.
But what if the rich young ruler could have been Paul?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
If God, and which obviously God obviously had a plan for Paul anyway, but like, we don't know. I mean, this is kind of conjecture at this point. But it's something to think about. Like, there could have been two of Pauls. Imagine if the rich young ruler who had probably a similar background, very educated, very well put together, came from a wealthy family, probably had status in the community. He was a rich young ruler. If you're a ruler and you're rich, I mean, those don't come by accident.
Yeah, and
those
you're
are good positions, and you're young, right?
So,
what could have been, you know,
right?
If the opportunity, and it's interesting, is you have to be able to recognize opportunity and the weight and significance of it to really take advantage of it. So, recognizing opportunity is important, and bringing an awareness to the opportunities around you. He knew something was special about Jesus.
Yes.
And he approached it, but the cost was too high. But there was other people, and I think we were talking before we started, you know, you mentioned about this, but, you know, maybe the blind beggar or different ones that would call out. They knew there was a moment in time
that they had to grab a hold of.
They had to grab a hold of it.
Yes.
And what was the quote you were telling me earlier about baldness? What was it with opportunity?
Opportunity has hair in the front, but it's bald in the back, something like that.
Once it's passed by, you can't reach out and grab a hold of it. You can't get a grip on it. So you have to grab a hold of it when it's close. But the truth is, opportunity really is abundant. Now, there are those specific moments we were talking about, that this is a God-orchestrated, God-ordained, divine interruption or divine moment.
I think those moments happen when you engage with the more general ones.
Oh, I like that.
I think many people are waiting for the specific moment, right? But they're failing at grabbing hold of the general opportunities that are in front of them. I don't think you'll get to the specific opportunities if you don't do something with the general ones, right?
Right.
Like, because it's a journey. You're following him. And so...
I like to put it this way, you know, as people will say, you know, when my ship comes in and I'll really make investments or I'll really do something or, you know, but God is looking to be the rudder to direct you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's a rudder is absolutely pointless without movement.
Yes.
If a ship has a rudder, but no movement, no propulsion, no activity, they're not doing anything to move forward in any direction, it can't be directed by the rudder.
I think I've even heard this on Kingdom Speak, but they said something about God cannot direct a stationary object.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not moving, he can't direct you.
To our analogy with Elisha. Mm-hmm. He was busy doing what he knew to do. David was in the fields tending sheep, but he wasn't just tending sheep, a menial, you know, less glamorous than any other position probably. You know, he was kind of sent off to the hills to be by himself, but he took that as an opportunity to develop his relationship with God.
Even Moses in the wilderness, he was tending to the sheep. He was a shepherd, right? So I don't see any example in the Bible of God calling somebody who's idle, mm-hmm. who's doing nothing with what mm-hmm. they have in front of them.
Probably the closest example I can think of is I think it was the lame man who was by the pool of Bethesda, but it wasn't for lack of desire, and he wasn't able to get into the pool by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was still there. He had positioned himself there where he was as close as he could get to a miracle.
To the opportunity. Yes. Absolutely.
He knew there was an opportunity for a miracle, and he positioned himself as best as he knew, but there was a gap between what he knew. Imagine someone sitting there staring at the opportunity for years, hoping that someone would come by and just push you in.
Yeah.
Because you knew you didn't have someone, and you knew you couldn't do it on your own. You literally are only there hoping that someone will push you in. And God, in the flesh, Jesus Christ, walks down that road and says, that's the type of person that I'm going to bridge that gap for them.
Yes.
I'm going to create that specific opportunity. He was pursuing general opportunity that he could see.
Right.
But that specific opportunity for the miraculous came to him.
And I think there's an opportunity for people to step into that role and help others.
I believe that too.
Bridge that gap, right? Mm-hmm. Even when you see something in somebody that they don't necessarily see themselves, mm-hmm. right? I think you can bring awareness to opportunity that somebody did not see. Because even that's like what revelation is an awareness of something that's there already that you just cannot see. It's not like something new that's created. It's there, mm-hmm. but your eyes are open to it. And I think when Jesus came to him, he was making him aware of something that he was before unaware of, right? Because mm-hmm. he thought that his miracle was going to come by getting in the water, yes. right? When the angel troubled the water. But here he's saying, but in essence, you know, this is available to you through me.
Right.
Right?
Well, and I think in business, a lot of people are job opportunities. They will think, okay, they're looking for something specific.
Yes.
But if you just pursue what you have, the general opportunity, greater opportunity will come. And usually opportunity is time limited though. It usually is for a specific time. A lot of times we refer to it as the window of opportunity or a door of opportunity is open. And so you have to be on the lookout for it.
Yes.
And that's the point of this first episode is identifying opportunity. The first thing is you have to be intentional about raising your awareness of the possibility of opportunity. I think one is you, and that's even Jesus went to that, and he said, you know, look at different times. What was when the disciples went into the temple? And he said, the beggar was asking for alms, mm-hmm. and they said, look on us.
Look on us, yeah, yeah.
And he looked up with expectation.
Expecting to receive something of that.
And so you have to be willing to look up and expect something to happen. Mm-hmm. You have to be on the lookout for opportunity. So I think that's one important thing is in identifying opportunities, you understand that there's an abundance of opportunity, both general and specific. And I like how you said, operate in the general and the specific will find you.
Yes.
So you got to be operating into the realm of the general as to the best of your ability, to the degree that you can, and then be looking for it. But then identifying opportunity, I think also to kind of start summarizing here would be to recognize the importance of it in the moment. To see, okay, what's going on here? And start looking at the different factors in life and how you can use those as cues, as clues into what's going on. For instance, I may have told this before, I don't know. I've said it in several live sessions. I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, but recently someone who owns a landscaping business came to us and he was giving us a quote on doing some work behind our house, and he cuts our grass and things like that, what his company does. Well, I had noticed, because my eyes are open and I'm always looking for opportunity, mm-hmm. I saw that his same trucks were over at a commercial property not far from here, and I'd noticed them somewhere else, and I was like, man, these guys are getting around. They've got several crews going around cutting grass and doing different things, commercial, residential. So And I also happened to notice that he was kind of an older gentleman, and I kind of put two and two together. And so as he was leaving one day, quoting a project, special project, I asked, I said, I know this is kind of strange, but would you consider selling me your business?
Mm-hmm.
And he sat down and he said, you know what? My wife asked me last night when I was going to retire.
Wow.
Now, the truth is, how many people have the same opportunity to ask him that question?
Yeah.
How many people could have noticed, like, okay, he's got it going on. I mean, he's got, you know, 25 guys working for him, multiple trucks, you know, got a lot of commercial clients. You know, how many people could have noticed that and just asked the question?
That opportunity was there.
How many people did he see that same day? Yeah. Now, the truth is, I didn't know that his wife had just asked him that.
Mm-mm.
I didn't know he was ready. So maybe God was positioning and I asked at the right time. But
yeah,
anybody could have taken advantage of the general opportunity to say, hey, this is a business owner who's probably looking to retire. He might would sell his business. And we've actually had several meetings. We've got a meeting scheduled next mm-hmm. week. There's actually a strong possibility that me and someone else may end up buying their business, and I would be probably more of a silent partner and they would run it because I'm not looking to run that business specifically. But that's an opportunity that's open to me that could have been open to anyone. And this is the point I want to make. Your perspective is your reality. And so the true reality is there is an abundance of opportunity everywhere.
Right.
The reality is any one of his customers, any one of the people he came in contact with, the person checking him out at Kroger that week mm-hmm. could have asked him, right? Anybody could have asked him, would you sell your business? And he might would have said yes, because he was in a position he was ready to sell.
Yes.
But because the people's perspective was, I'm not cut out to be a business owner, or that person is successful, they probably wouldn't sell to me, mm-hmm. or I don't have the money to do it. Well, he's looking at owner financing it to us.
Right.
Well, so I didn't let the lack of having been involved in that business before, or the lack of having the money to buy him out, or the you know, thought that, okay, maybe he wouldn't sell to me, or I didn't let any of those things
stop you.
No.
Yeah. I think sometimes people just literally it's not that even that they go through that checklist in their head. They're just not aware of the fact that they can ask that question.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, I think all of us have been there at different points, but when you start to see things this way, mm-hmm. like for instance, someone might be listening and is hearing this, right? Well, now maybe when someone comes by, they're going to be paying attention, and maybe it's not a lawn care business.
Sure.
Maybe it's something completely different. But if you are aware of the fact that there might be opportunities every single day that you're missing, right?
Yes.
So like if you weren't thinking that way, you might have said there was no new opportunities for me in this day, right? Like if you didn't have an awareness of what's going on, right? But literally an opportunity came over to your house.
Yes.
That if you had not thought that way, you would have said
it would have passed you by.
Yeah. And then you would have thought there was no opportunity in it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I don't want to steal too much from future episodes because we're needing to wind down for tonight.
Yeah.
But one of the stories that stands out to me is that Jesus, when he sent the disciples across the sea
mm-hmm.
and they were toiling and they were in the middle of struggle. They were toiling with life. There was storms. There was contrary winds, as the Bible says. And they were rowing hard. And it seemed like life was against them. They were in the middle of the struggle, the grind, if we could put it that way,
yeah.
right? And it said that he saw them in about 2 or 3, I don't remember exactly. It was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. He comes walking. But interestingly, there's different accounts of it in the different gospels. But one of them says that And he came out on the water to meet them but it was as though he would pass them by. Another version, I think it was maybe it's NLT or whatever, says that he was going to pass by them. Meaning that if they didn't reach out and grab opportunity, if they hadn't said, you know, saw him, and at first they were scared, they thought it was a ghost, right? Opportunity can be scary at times.
Yeah, yeah.
But literally the opportunity for the miraculous would have passed them by.
Yeah.
If they hadn't reached out, we would not have seen, they may have survived. Maybe, you know, I believe God would have allowed them to survive through the storm, but it would have mm-hmm. been painful. but they would not have experienced the miraculous. You know, Peter would not have walked on the water.
Right. If he had not recognized an opportunity.
If they had not recognized the opportunity. So opportunity will pass you by. Now, I believe opportunity does come back around. I think God is gracious enough to send opportunity around multiple times or different opportunities. So don't cry over spilt milk. Mm-hmm. You'll drown in your own tears if that's the case. But at the same time, you have to be aware it is important.
Yeah. And and it's faith
to be looking for it.
Faith building to sometimes even look back and see where there might have been some opportunities. Mm-hmm. Because you can say, you know what? If that happened then, it can happen in the future.
Yes.
And I can see where, okay, there was an opportunity there. Well, where can there be an opportunity today? Where can there be opportunity tomorrow? Like, I'm going to be looking, you know? And kind of it goes with this. There is a quote, Benjamin Disraeli. He said, the secret of success is to be ready when your opportunity mm-hmm. comes. And so you have to be saying, you know what? I'm going to jump on that when it mm-hmm. comes my way. I'm not going to let Jesus pass me by.
Well, again, identifying opportunity it starts with raising your awareness. And part of that awareness is an awareness of the importance and the limited nature. That window only opens for a time. But at the same time, we were kind of hitting on this, and I'll finish with this story, is a lot of times we have regret because of failed opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So we identify opportunities that have passed us by.
Yes.
And we have regret. So yeah, we've identified opportunity, but it's too late. You know, everyone would love to go back, you know, 30 years and buy, you know, Microsoft or Apple stock or whatever, right?
Right.
But we can't do that. So I remember a couple years ago, I'm in the real estate business. I buy and sell land and properties and now commercial buildings and stuff. And there was a big, what they call the Memphis mega site. And it was the state had put in just millions and millions of dollars in infrastructure. And it was supposed to be one of the largest industrial area, development areas in our entire region and in Western Tennessee. And I was like, you know, something big's going to come here. I need to go looking for a property. And I went out and actually found a piece of property for sale. It was a little bit more than I wanted to pay for it. And I was like, you know, I really think that this would be a great place for an RV park because all those construction workers, this is a multi-billion dollar project. There's going to be thousands and thousands of construction workers coming in for this and then tons of people afterwards. And then the whole region's going to, you know, be growing as well. So I found this property not far off the interstate. And I said, you know, this would be a great opportunity. But I let it slip by and I didn't buy it. We ended up buying something else. And I said, well, we'll come back to it. Well, I didn't see it listed online anymore or whatever, but I ended up saying, you know, I need to go follow up on that because mm-hmm. they made an announcement that Ford is going to, with the Blue Oval City, was going to build one of the largest, if not the largest plant in the entire continental United States in the United States, I guess. And so, and it's 20 minutes down the road. And from the property I looked at, it was like 10 or 15 minutes. And I was like, oh, my opportunity is too late. Someone probably already bought that. But I just happened to call the people and I said, hey, is that property still available? They said, yeah, we had taken it off the market, but we would sell it. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to call you back. Well, I got busy. Other opportunities came up and I was going to go call them and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I realized I looked online later once Ford actually started breaking ground. So I was like, oh, yeah, I got to go take advantage of that because it had already cycled through once or twice. Well, it had sold. And I was like, oh, man, I really missed it. Well, fast forward 6 months or a year later, I was driving through that area and I said, I'm just going to stop off and see if someone bought that to build a house or something. It was a beautiful home site, you know, on it, stuff like that. And would you believe I pull up? And it is a huge RV park now.
Wow.
I pulled up and I was like, I knew it. So in those moments, you're faced with either extreme regret over something you can't change, or you can take that and say, you know what? I need to be more cognizant of these nudges that I believe God is giving me.
Exactly.
There's opportunities and okay, I can't go back and undo the clock and redo that one. That would be amazing. That's a great RV park. And I am slightly kicking myself over it. But at the same time, it just motivates me all the more that when opportunity comes back around again, I'm going to take advantage of it.
Yes, exactly. Yes. That's why you can look at it in a negative way or you can look at it as fuel for, you know what? I'm going to be aware of what's going to happen to me today or what's available tomorrow when I go out and I go to work. Is there opportunity? Is someone going to walk in to like the man that came over to your house that you sees that opportunity? I think just having that mindset, you can put that same template over other things that you see, mm-hmm. and then you can recognize them and spot them.
You'll be able to identify opportunities so much more when you change your perspective and your perception. Because if your perception is your reality, and your perception is, I only identify the opportunities that have already passed me by, you feel like you're a failure.
Mm-hmm.
But if instead you're like, oh, I have had so many opportunities come by, I just need to get better at recognizing them on the front end.
Sometimes all you need to recognize is one.
Yes, that can be good enough.
That's the one, you know what I mean? Yeah. Obviously, that's not, our view is only one, but I'm just saying some people...
It could be big enough to make it
worth
it. Yeah,
it could be big enough to, that's your opportunity, you know?
Well, and so let's, as we kind of wrap up here today, one of the opportunities that lie in front of you is to go take the launch course. And we actually talk about some of this a little bit in there. But the launch course, again, if you're looking to start a business, start a side hustle, anything like that, if you're looking for a guide, a step-by-step guide that will guide you through the process, this course is for you. And you can go to theblessedbusiness.com or you can go directly to the landing page, theblessedbusiness.com/launch, and you can get more information about that. Get signed up today. And I believe that God will bless you for taking the step towards opportunity. So identify opportunity. It's right in front of you, right?
Yep.
And there. Also the opportunity is, if you haven't already, subscribe if you've enjoyed this
content. Like and share.
Right? You will be blessed if you're a blessing to others. And the way you can be a blessing to others is to share this episode with somebody else.
So now go out and do it.
Right. Well, thank you again. Tune in next time and we will be back with more content, hopefully on this topic soon. God bless.